Opportunity to share our burdens the Lord has laid off on our hearts with you. Thank you for the good food. That was great eating. The fellowship, we've truly been blessed to be with you. James chapter 1, verse 27 is a verse that is... What I want to do is just share some of my personal testimony of where the Lord has brought me, so that you can know who I am and why we are doing this ministry, what the Lord's laid upon our hearts in regards to being a missionary to the fatherless. And it was passages like this that God began to really convict me over and to burden my heart in regards to ministry. James chapter 1, verse 27. This is pure religion and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Our ministry is a gospel-centered ministry to reach the fatherless. The word fatherless comes from the Greek word orphanos. It's translated from the Greek word orphanos, where we get the word orphan from. It carries the basic meaning of comfortless. When Jesus tells his disciples he's leaving, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless." He uses the word orphanos. He says, "I will come to you." And James does a wonderful job of pointing out in verse 27 and in the inspiration spirit that our religion, our belief, the system of belief of who God is, directly ties us to visiting widows and the fatherless in their need, in their afflictions. And I've been in the ministry now since my early 20s. I was ordained when I was 22 years old, 23, I don't know, I forget those years. I have to start going back. The older you get, you know, and then I was ordained, sent out of my church, and the first church I pastored was in Hazard, Kentucky, and I pastored there for 5 years. While I was pastor there, I met Michelle. She was a member over at Main Street Baptist Church in Somerset, Kentucky, and Lord brought me a far better wife than I deserved, and I'm thankful for that. And so we served there in Hazard, Kentucky for 5 years, and then the Lord laid upon my heart to become the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Corbin, Kentucky, and we served there for 6 years. During that time, the Lord burdened our heart about the need to adopt, to open our home, open our hearts to adopt. And through this, there's passages that God was just making more and more real to us, bringing people into our lives to just show us adoption. God opened my eyes to see in His Word how we are the adopted children of God, and it's our personal story. All of us here, the children of God, we are the adopted children of God. It's our personal story. And you know, as a ministry, we know that we're not a ministry that goes out and encourages everyone to adopt. That's not our ministry. We encourage everyone to care, as the Lord leads you, as the Lord directs you, how you can care. Not everyone's called. Not everyone can adopt children. Not everyone can bring foster kids into their home. But all of us are called to care. And to care for the widows, to care for the fatherless, as the Lord leads in your life and in your heart to do so. And so I want to share some verses that that the Lord used in my life that became very dear to me. One is Job. I asked the question, you know, Job was an individual that God said, "Behold my servant Job." When Satan came, and before God, he asked him a question: Have you considered my servant Job? He brought Job up before Satan and asked him if he had even considered him. And I asked the question. I said, well, what did Job do? How did he live his life that made him so different? That made him one that was someone that was such a character that God said that he hated evil, eschewed evil. But Job 29, or let's first begin chapter 22. Here's some accusations that his friends made of him. His friends that came to comfort him weren't very good friends. That says, then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear for thee? Will he enter into thy judgment? Is not thy wickedness great and thy iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. This is an accusation that is made at Job. And if you turn over in 29, you'll see Job's response of how Job responds to the way that he lived his life. Verse 7 says, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, he's talking about his outward testimony of how people saw him. He says, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged rose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue clave to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. Thy judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of their teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. The glory was fresh to me. My glory was fresh to me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Upon me, unto me, men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. You read those things and you find a character in Job. A character that not only Job could say, this is what I did, but the society around him saw it. They saw it. Job 31, he goes on to speak about it a little more in this verse. Verse 16, he says, if I have withheld the poor from their desires, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father. I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. So passages like that, it caught my attention. Wow. This was a testimony that Job had. Psalms 82 verse 3, it says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Another one is Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah writing, speaking to the children of Israel in a time period when they are doing a lot of religious activities. He says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and or lambs or he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth, that they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Look over in Isaiah 58 also. And I share these passages with you because these are the passages that the Lord used in my life during a time that I really was struggling about the call to the mission field. And it was passages like this that the Lord burdened my heart with to see the need and to see that the scriptural basis for reaching out to those that are hurting. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet ye seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife, and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and spreading vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall bind the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We were in the process of adopting my two oldest children, Isaac and Hadassah, and the Lord continued to burden my heart. I was in Ukraine, and I was looking around at while we were at their boarding school, the orphanage that they lived in, and there was all these children, and the Lord burdened my heart that I can do more, that He was calling me to do more, to reach the fatherless children. And it was a hard step. I was pastoring a church. I had a full-time job and a job that I loved. And then all the questions start going through your mind is, you know, Lord, how can I do that? How do you reach the fatherless? What do you do? And it came down to just surrendering and surrendering to the Lord's will of, yes, we will go out as missionaries to the fatherless children. Pastor Holbrook, the pastor of the New Testament Baptist Church that we are going out of under their authority, I've known him since I was first ordained to preach. His church that he pastored at the time was in Illinois. He had me come up there to speak for them as when I was first preaching. And so I've known him for all my ministry. Through this, we went up there to speak at a Bible conference. And he asked me, he said, you know, Nathan, have you, you know, considered doing more, you know, for the fathers? He knew we were adopting and stuff. And I hadn't shared anything with him about it. And I said, yes, you know, the Lord's really been burdening my heart to do more. And through that and through the church there and getting to know the church there, we felt the Lord calling us to unite with New Testament Baptist Church and go out of their church as missionaries to the fatherless children, to the comfortless children. And so that is what we are endeavoring to do. When we first started, there was a lot of questions of what we can do, how are we going to do this, what do we need to do. And the Lord has continued to open up avenues and to teach us how we can begin to minister to fatherless children in our community. And our goal is to learn how to minister to the children in our community, to learn how to minister to those that are caring for children in our community, and then go to our Lord's churches and teach them how to do that same thing in their communities as well. And so I've started going to juvenile detention centers. I go to two different juvenile detention centers. One is in Lake County. There's a county just north of us, and then Cuyahoga County as well. That's the county where Cleveland is in. And so we go into the juvenile detention centers and preach the gospel to the kids. We are uninhibited. We can say what we need to in preaching the gospel. And so we get to minister to the children like that in the juvenile detention centers. It's a wonderful ministry. But we've also learned in doing so that you preach to the kids. We get to have one-on-one time with the kids after that come to us for counseling afterwards. We spend time in prayer with them. And these kids break down. They cry. They say they want to change their lives, and they don't want to do these, you know, things that they do anymore. But then they go back to the environment when they get out. And that's the last we hear of them. And so we're now looking at more ways in which we can become consistently involved in a child's life. And that comes back to looking at the commission in regards to teaching to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And when we bring a child and we begin to care for a child like that, you start to take on the form of a father or a mother. And you consistently raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They don't have this. I've had children in the detention center ask me, is it wrong to sell drugs? And I remember the boy that asked me that, he asked that question. I wondered, you got to ask that question? What do you mean, is it wrong to sell drugs? And it dawned on me that he doesn't have anybody to teach him that. That everybody in his community that he is around is probably selling drugs, and some of them are probably telling him, I'm selling drugs to put food on the table for my kids. And so I had the opportunity, I went over and I kneeled down beside his desk that he was sitting at. And I said to him, I said, when you sell drugs to somebody, I said,
does it make their life better or worse? Is it helping them or is it hurting them? And he could think about that. And he said, it's hurting. And then I could say, well, then is it a good thing? And he said, no, it's not. It's not a good thing. But he had no one to teach him those basic principles, those basic things. And so that's one way once we're ministering. There was something that really convicted me was that when Michelle and I attended an adoption summit conference, and it was hosted in Nashville, and there was all these different organizations there that it represented some kind of orphan type ministry. And I shared with you about World Vision, and so you've got all these different ministries out there trying to do a good work, and some of them are really helping children physically. But what burdened me, what bothered me, was I was there and I was asking the question, you know, where are the Lord's churches? You know, how are we getting involved? What are we doing? And it was things like that that really, Lord, burdened me. Go start doing it. And what we found is that there are so many of God's people that want to do something. They want to do something, and they just don't know how. They don't know where to start. And so that's part of our ministry, is learning how we can do it and then sharing it with the Lord's churches to help them get involved in their own communities. So being consistent was something that we learned. There was a man that shared his testimony. His name was Stephen Yusimba, and he was raised in an orphanage of over 300. And the way he ended up in an orphanage, his mother was beheaded in Kenya by his stepdad. And he lay beside her body as a child until they came and got him and took him to the orphanage. And he said, something we learned in the orphanage, he said, you learned not to cry. He said, because nobody cared. Nobody cared. And he said, we would have church workers that would come into the orphanage. And they would come in and they would work 1 or 2 weeks with us. And he said, this is what we knew about the church workers that came in. He said, at the end of 1 or 2 weeks, they were going to go back home and we were going to be alone again. And he said, what the Lord used in his life was a woman that was from Great Britain that would write him a letter. And she would write him this letter over and over and over. And in that letter, it would say things like, I love you. And he said, I'd get that letter and I'd read, I love you. And he said, I couldn't understand how could someone love me that never met me. He said, but he would read them over and over. And the Lord used that in his life to bring him to salvation. And he's a grown man now. And he said, you know, he said, now, he said, in my room at night, he said, I do a lot of crying because he found somebody that cared. God. But it was consistent. It was consistent involvement. And that has been a model for our ministry of what we want to develop and how we want to interact with these kids. You know, if we just reach out one time, if we just get involved in their life one time, what happens sometimes is we pat ourselves on the back for that. We had a ministry go out. We did what we needed, and we pat ourselves on the back. But to really have an impact for the Lord, it takes that self-sacrificing love of being consistently there. And so we hope to develop a ministry as we grow in our ministry to start just a letter writing ministry, to be able to go into orphanages and interview kids, get their information, and then bring them to the Lord's people and say, here's a child that you can write a letter to, and here's how you can do it, and be able to minister like that. And so those are different opportunities that we're looking at in helping the Lord's people get involved in caring for the fatherless. We have a sign-up sheet out there on our board. If that's something that you're interested in getting involved in, or as we develop more ministries, as the Lord leads and opens up opportunities, we'll begin to share those with you, with those that are signed up on how they can get involved. So you can sign up for that if that's something that you'd like to learn about in the future. And like I said, our ministry is young. We are learning more and more of how we can minister to young people.
Lord willing, next month we're going to start an addiction prevention program that we're going to open up to our community. And we found that children that come from broken homes, 40% of all children in the United States are born out of wedlock. When you get to the inner cities, it reaches as high as 90% of all the children. You look at the jails, the prisons, they are full of children from broken homes. That's what they're full of. And the statistics that are just, some of them are on our board back there, but they are so staggering, and they're getting worse and worse and worse in our community, in our country. And our government is pouring more money than any other country into trying to fix these problems, but they cannot fix it. They can't fix it. But Jesus can fix it. Jesus can heal. And so when we've learned that the kids that come from these broken homes, they have a huge percentage rate of getting involved in drugs, alcohol, other addictive substances, pornography, you name it. And so what we want to do is try to reach these kids before they get involved in that through a hope-based initiative program that we're going to be sharing with them. I've learned through different trainings that I've taken that there are DARE programs out there that try to reach kids in the public school system about how they are, to keep them from doing drugs. And so they teach them, this is what drugs are, this is what the effects of drugs in your life, so drugs are bad. Well, the problem is that these kids that come from these broken homes, their lives are valueless. They don't have any value in themselves because their lives are broken. Their families are broken. And when it comes to a place, they get invited to go to a party. They go to a party and somebody offers them drugs. They're already hurting. Their life is already broken. And someone offers them some drugs, and then they take the drugs, and then all of a sudden they forget about all their problems. They forget about all the things that have hurt them for a short time. And they feel good for a little bit. And so then it becomes a pattern that they continue to turn back to it to start to cover up all the pain, all the hurting that they have in their life. And that's why they turn to those drugs. So we want to step in and build them a hope-based life for them so that they have a reason to live. They have a reason not to, because they have hope and desires in their life. And ultimately, what is our hope and desire is to be found in Christ. And the more I share with you more, Christ is the answer for this. When you teach a child and they can, through faith, experience the love that God has for them and places upon them and the value that they have through that relationship, it gives them self-value, self-worth, all the things that this body needs, that it can be found in Christ and through Christ. And so that's how we present that. We also presented that to our school systems. I got to go into our public school just recently and teach a group of children. We are working with those that are in charge of the foster care community. They've looked to us now. They started a house there for fostering kids. They need a house that they can start placing kids between the ages of 5 and 12. They have nowhere to place in our county. And so the county has rented a house, and they're looking for a foster family to fill that house. And they looked to our church and said, can you find a family? And we said, yeah. So we're looking through our church, see if there's any family that wants to do it, and trying to help them to find a family to fill that foster home. But that's just ways in which the Lord's churches can put out a message that we are the ones that care. We are the ones that love and care and value children and widows. And it should be that as the society looks upon the Lord's churches, they see that. And they will turn to us. Because they can't fix it. They really can't. So that's our burden. We have also a foster adoption support group that we meet once a month. It's open to anyone in our community. And we have families that come in, and we teach the families how to minister to children from hard places, all the troubles and baggage that they've experienced, all the hurt that they experience, how to reach those children, how to connect with those children, and to help those children. And so that's, our church loves it. Our volunteers that get to volunteer in that program, it's for the families. The families come in and they bring their children. as well, and we have different crafts we do with the children while we minister to the parents, teaching the parents how to minister to fatherless children. And all this, I think, goes back to our commission, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teaching is the center of it. Teaching and leading through the gospel is the center of our ministry. And that's how we reach out. It is a growing ministry. We are constantly looking for more ways that we can reach, or where God would lead for us to minister into our community. And as we learn, as we reach out, as we seek out the hurting, then we want to share that with our sister churches of how they can do it in their own community. Since February of this year, I moved up to Ohio. I resigned as pastor, united with New Testament Baptist Church several years ago. We started doing some deputation work. We just felt the Lord burden our heart to go ahead and move up there and get involved in the mission field. So we moved to northern Ohio. It's like a foreign country up there, going from Kentucky to the cold climate of Ohio. And started ministering to the kids up there. It has changed my ministry in so many ways. I had spent all these years preaching in pulpits, preaching to brothers and sisters in Christ, or the people that had been in church their entire life. And I could use things, examples of the Bible. And then when I started going to the detention centers and teaching these kids, and I talked to them the same way, and then we got to where we started asking them afterwards, who here can tell us what repentance is? And there were no hands would go up. Or when they did, they were so off the wall about subjects that it really was an eye-opener that we're speaking to a generation that is unchurched. We use the term unchurched, that they are so unfamiliar with theological terms that we take for granted all the time. When we say Jesus Christ is a sacrifice for your sins, we understand what that means. When someone that has never been in church, number one, they don't really have an understanding of sacrifice. They don't have a really understanding of sin and why would it be a sacrifice for sin? What does that mean? In our minds, we can already picture a sacrifice, an animal being sacrificed to please God, you know, or in atonement for our sins. All that stuff's already built in our understanding. So when we minister to kids in this situation, you have to go all the way back to the basics. And sometimes we start with just, okay, there's a God, and He created you. And you start from there, and you just begin to build and teach. Since February, I've been full-time in the ministry field. As we first moved up there, I was working a full-time job and trying to start the ministry and get involved as much as we can. Our church saw that there was a great need, and so they stepped out by faith to pick us up full-time for support starting February, and it was on a one-year basis. And we have several churches, about six churches right now, that are supporting us full-time on a monthly basis. But our church was able to do that for 1 year to get us, you know, started in ministry. But we need more churches to help support and individuals to help support so that we can continue to do this on a full-time basis. I have no greater joy than to go and preach the gospel, to share the life that Christ has given me. And I over and over, you know, when I get to go to the detention centers or talk with kids, to share our personal testimony of what Christ is for us, who He is for us, is a great blessing. But the Lord has been gracious, and He's been good. And we've seen the Lord work, and we're very excited to see what the Lord's going to do in the future, and very excited to see the Lord's churches getting involved and caring. And it thrills my heart to see the families here that have opened up their homes to start caring for your pastor's burden. It's very refreshing to us, and I thank the Lord for that. And may it be a testimony, a something that is so clear that the world would see of God's people that they are caring, caring people. And that was what Job's testimony was. And so I pray for you that the Lord would give you that testimony in your community, that they would see you as those that care, that love, and that are desiring to see lives saved. And we ask that you pray for us as well as we go to reach the fatherless in our community, that the Lord would bless our ministry, teach us the best ways in which we can share the gospel with these hurting children, and the Lord would provide for our needs so we can continue to do that. All right. That's all I wanted to share at this time.